Hello, and welcome back to Texas Tech Health Check from Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center. I'm your host, Melissa Whitfield. We want you to get healthy and stay healthy with help from evidence-based advice from our physicians, healthcare providers, and researchers. January is Glaucoma Awareness Month. Glaucoma is the leading cause of irreversible blindness. Here to explain what glaucoma is, what the symptoms are, treatments, and when you should start getting checked for it, is Dr. Matt Porter, ophthalmologist in the Department of Ophthalmology and Visual Sciences. Dr. Porter, welcome to our podcast.
Melissa, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your expertise, and what you do here at the Health Sciences Center?
Yeah, so I'm Dr. Matt Porter. So I'm with the Department of Ophthalmology and Visual Sciences. What I do is I'm a specialist in glaucoma and cataract surgery here at the School of Medicine. And what I really do is, and this can be confusing for the public, is, you know, they hear what's an optometrist or an ophthalmologist. So I'm an ophthalmologist, and so what's the difference between an ophthalmologist and an optometrist? You know, ophthalmologists, we specialize in the treatment of eye diseases, and in particular, the surgical treatment of those diseases, whereas optometrists kind of serve as our colleagues in screening for eye diseases, you know, distributing, getting glasses prescriptions, doing contact lenses, or especially, you know, really adept at doing the contact lenses. So I'm more in the treating of the diseases of the eye, whatever way that we need to do. And my specialty is in glaucoma, and that's perfect timing that you have me on here in January. It's Glaucoma Awareness Month, and so I really appreciate the opportunity to kind of share with the public about glaucoma and what they can do about it, and thanks so much.
Well, again, thank you for coming on our podcast. Can you then go over some common eye disorders and diseases?
Sure. So, yeah, certainly, it's amazing the number of things. The eye is such a wonderful organ that perfectly put together to help us take the photon, the light. It goes in and forms a chemical signal that becomes an electrical signal, and ultimately that goes to our brain, and that gives us our vision. So it's a very complex, amazing system, but obviously that means that any little thing that goes wrong with it is going to lead to problems. And so there's just a lot of different things, but probably the most common diseases that we see, well, one would be related to diabetes. You know, that's a huge problem in our country and around the world right now, is uncontrolled diabetes can lead to all sorts of problems in the eye. In particular, the retina can lead to poor blood supply to the eye, and that can lead to retina problems. It can cause glaucoma. Other things, cataract is actually a very, very common problem, and maybe the most common problem that we see. And that's really, everyone's born with a natural lens inside their eyes. And over time, as you get older, if you collect enough birthdays, that lens basically hazes over and becomes discolored and can even be smudged to where you can't see as well, and it can significantly impact your vision. So we very commonly see people as they get up into their 60s and 70s and 80s, developing worsening cataracts, and that's a surgical disease. Another thing we see is macular degeneration. So the macula is really the part of the retina, and the retina is really like the satellite dish that receives all that light, and the macula is where the central vision takes place. And so many people, as they get older again, are at risk for developing essentially scar tissue right in that central part of the retina that gives you your sharpest vision. So they'll have actually blurring and distorted vision right in the middle of their sight. So that's very, very disruptive to their life, and can really impact the activities that they do. So that's a common problem we see. And then probably a dry eye here in Lubbock. I think Lubbock's like the third worst city in the United States for dryness, for dry eye disease. So constantly feeling like tearing and irritated eyes with all the dust in the air and the wind. So a lot of people complaining of that. And then finally, what I do, you know, mostly, which is glaucoma. So that's another very common problem. And really, glaucoma, and I guess kind of to tell you a little bit about that, is a disease of high pressures inside the eye. And I like to say that I'm the plumber of the eye. So what you have is you have a drainage system inside each eye. And if that drainage system becomes clogged or dysfunctional, the pressure goes up inside the eye. And that pressure can damage the optic nerve, which is the, it's sort of like the television cable. If the retina is the satellite dish that receives the light, the optic nerve is the television cable that sends the signal to the brain. So that pressure can damage the optic nerve and therefore significantly damage people's vision. Once people have damage to that optic nerve, that's when we say they have glaucoma, if it's a result of the pressure inside the eye. So that's mostly what I deal with. And that's a lot of the common problems that we see. So obviously, there's a lot of things that can happen.
Well, tell us more about glaucoma. Are there different types? What is it?
Yeah. So my wife, who's a pediatrician, deals with all sorts of, you know, problems. She's like she jokes, she's like, I'm a real doctor, and here's me, I'm the eye doctor. I'm not just an eye doctor, I'm an eye doctor of one or two diseases. But glaucoma, it's one disease, but it's really, I tell my patients, like 1,000 different presentations of one disease. And because it's a problem of the drainage system, really the first thing that we have to decide is what's blocking the drain. Why is the drain not working? So the most common reason that it's not working, it's what's called primary open angle glaucoma. And that's where I can look at a patient and look at their drain, I can visualize the drain inside their eye, and I don't see anything wrong with it. It looks normal to my eye, but on a microscopic level, the drain is dysfunctional and damaged. And so that's what we call primary open angle glaucoma. And that's the vast majority of cases fall into that category. Other things like diabetes, we mentioned, sometimes patients, their diabetes is so uncontrolled that they'll actually grow blood vessels, abnormal blood vessels, and those will block the drain. Okay. Sometimes autoimmune disease can do the same thing, where inflammation blocks the drain. And then finally, another common type is called angle closure glaucoma. So this one is one where I kind of say it's like a heart attack of the eye, where basically the iris, the colored part of your eye, directly clogs and blocks the whole drain or much of it. And the pressure can go very, very high, very, very fast in many of these cases. So that's kind of my first job, is to determine, okay, why is your drain not working? Why is the pressure high? And depending on, you know, your people's medical conditions, whether they have diabetes, whether they have high blood pressure, whether they have a history of autoimmune disease, that all can influence my evaluation and kind of tell me different things about what's going on. And it ultimately changes the treatment.
Well, then what are the symptoms, and is there a way that we can prevent it?
You know, what makes this disease so scary is there's usually no symptoms. And I think that's quite frustrating for me and for others. Say, well, what do I look for? Well, most of the time, nothing. There's nothing to look for, except in really extreme cases. You know, occasionally if people's pressure goes very, very high, the normal pressure is 10 to 21. So like when we take a reading, you know, if people's pressure goes up to 40, so double the normal pressure, they may start to feel some discomfort and pain. Most of the time, people with glaucoma have no idea that they have it. So that's what makes it such a challenging disease. And it's not one that's obvious to many people that they have it until they're really far along. So it's quite dangerous in that way. And in fact, that's why it's the leading cause of irreversible blindness in the world. So it's just a sneaky scourge of a disease. And so I wish I could tell you there were more symptoms. Now, there are some types. We mentioned the angle closure glaucoma. So some patients may have that diagnosis. Sometimes those patients they'll go into a darker environment and it will cause them to go into an episode of very high pressure. So we always tell people, if you have eye pain, like pain that's lasting, you know, longer than just a quick shooting pain, but that's constant and lasting more than a couple of minutes, that you need to get seen urgently, probably in the emergency room, because it can be an episode of very high pressure. But other than that, mostly not a whole lot of symptoms. Now, as people progress, as the disease process moves far along and becomes more severe, what happens is that the vision typically closes in on people. So We talked about macular degeneration, how that affects the central part of the vision. Glaucoma is the opposite. It affects the peripheral vision first, and then it closes in until you can't see anything. So it's sort of an outside-in sort of effect. So sometimes people may notice, hey, I've got a blind spot over here. I don't see over here anymore. I can't see anything in my peripheral vision. And that can be a sign that things are pretty severe if people are noticing that. So again, if any patients out there are noticing, man, I just can't, it's dark in the spot of my eye. They need to get evaluated quickly.
How do you treat glaucoma?
Yeah. So like I said, I'm kind of the plumber. After we've evaluated a patient and determined, yes, you have glaucoma, your pressures are too high, we have several options to try to get the pressure down. So really, we cannot reverse, unfortunately, the damage to the optic nerve. Once that's done, once the pressure has damaged the optic nerve, it's done. It's all preventative. It's preventing the pressure from continuing to damage the optic nerve and preventing the pressure from continuing to steal the vision. And so we turn our focus to the first thing that I usually offer patients. There's two good first options. The most common thing that people use is eye drops. So it's medications in the form of an eye drop. And these eye drops work. We have about, essentially five different classes of medications that we use that all work a little bit differently. Some of them turn the faucet down in the eye, kind of turn the production down. Some of them help the drainage system work better. But the whole point is, again, your drain is sick. Let's help it along here by either turning the faucet down or helping the drain work better. So medication can do that. Another thing that's come up in the last 5 or 6 years is the use of laser as a first-line therapy. So I do a procedure called SLT, which really what I'm doing is using very gentle laser light to open up, to gently remodel and open up the natural drainage system. I treat the entrance to the drain and it opens it up. And it's a, virtually painless procedure that we can do in the office. It takes 5 or 10 minutes. So many patients are choosing that as their first line therapy. And we can often control patients for, 5, 6 years doing that procedure. So those are kind of the what I call the conservative options. And for many patients, this is all they need to get their disease under control and stop the loss of vision. But there's some patients that, we do everything we can. We do laser, we do drops, and it's still just their drainage system is so sick and so diseased that it just doesn't help enough, and their pressure still too high. And so for those patients, that's where I have to do surgery. So traditionally, 20 years ago, nobody wanted to do glaucoma because all we had were drops. We could put people on drops, and if that didn't work, you'd have to do what's called a trabeculectomy, which is a fancy way of saying I create a new drain in your eye. I basically fashion a tunnel in your eye that drains underneath your eyelid. And that's a high-risk surgery. It can work very well, but very high risk of infection, lots of, most glaucoma patient or specialists know patients that had trabeculectomy when they had great vision, and then the surgery actually caused them to lose their vision. But without the surgery, they would have lost their vision. So it's a tough situation. Well, fortunately, in the last 5 or 10 years, we've developed a lot of minimally invasive techniques, and often with or without cataract surgery. So that's why I also do cataract surgery is, many of these new procedures allow me to try to revitalize the natural drain, sort of like how the laser works, where with the laser, I'm trying to get the natural drain to work well again. With these minimally invasive surgeries, we sort of take it a step further. We're going into the eye and either putting stents. We put small stents into the drain. And it's actually the smallest implantable device that we put in the human body is those stents to try to get things flowing again and get the pressure down. Sometimes we'll do almost like a Roto-Rooter clean out of the drain. And that can help kind of restore the natural function. And these procedures are much lower risk than the trabeculectomy. And often I use it to get patients off drops who aren't able to take all of their drops. You can imagine if you're on 5 drops, it's very hard to keep up with all that. So we know, I think it's like 50% of patients, only 50% actually take their drops how they're supposed to. So these procedures have really opened up a door for us to safely, or at least in a much safer fashion, treat the disease in a surgical way. But ultimately, even some of those minimally invasive surgeries, don't cut it and we have to go and build a new drain. And so that's kind of like the last step oftentimes to, okay, your drain, we've tried to get your drain fixed and we can't fix it. Now we have to build you a new one to get your pressure under control and to save your vision. So that's basically what I do is I'm when I see a patient for glaucoma, I'm evaluating where's their disease, what have we tried, and we go step by step until we get it under control.
Now, you mentioned people who are at risk are people with diabetes or an autoimmune disease. Are there other groups who are more at risk for getting glaucoma? And what if a family member has it?
Yeah. So that's a super important question. So actually, you know, I mentioned diabetes, autoimmune disease. Those are actually lower on the list. Really, genetics is what's driving this. And so the number one thing, family history. If you have a first degree relative, so if you have a parent or a sibling or a child even that has glaucoma, it's very important that you go and get your eyes evaluated. You know, I would say the other side of it, there's a racial predilection as well, especially for primary open angle glaucoma. African Americans are horribly affected by this. And it's even to the, and we'll talk a little bit about screening later, what that means, but very high risk in African Americans is also very aggressive disease. It tends to be harder to treat further along when we catch it. The Hispanic population as well are more affected by this on average and tend to have a little bit more aggressive disease. So definitely family history genetics is the main driver of glaucoma. Of course, there's so many other causes that can be on top of that, but that's the most common thing. The biggest almost take-home point is that if you have a family history, you've got to get checked out. And we'll talk maybe a little bit later about the screening. But
well, is there an age where we should start getting treated or asking our doctor to check for it?
Glaucoma can affect all ages. So I'm talking about the age range. I see babies who have glaucoma. I see teenagers, kids who have glaucoma. I see people who are 25. But by and large, this is a disease of people later in life, okay? People who are over the age of 40, 50, 60. The older you get, the more common glaucoma is. So I guess I would start by like, okay, what about kids? What do I do? What do I do for my kids? You know, that's probably a common thing. You know, kids tend to be, especially babies, what we call congenital glaucoma, tends to be symptomatic, and pediatricians are very good at picking this up. So these babies usually are very light sensitive, have a lot of tearing, and they really are uncomfortable with their eyes. And so the pediatricians are really good at picking that up, very light sensitive, and they'll refer quickly. That's only about 1 in 10,000 babies have that. So that's not very common. So you get into kind of like the young kids, teenagers. I tell people, you know, it's good to get an eye exam, you know, probably in that time, although it's not in any of the formal recommendations. If there's any family history of glaucoma early in life, definitely need to get an exam. So that's where the genetics comes in. But for kind of, let's say just the, you know, what does an adult do? You know, when do I get screened? When do I go get an eye exam? What if I don't need glasses? Why do I need to go see an eye doctor? The American Academy of Ophthalmology recommends at least one dilated eye exam after the age of 40, when you hit 40 years old. And I think that's a good recommendation. Unfortunately, why this is so confusing and why this isn't widely publicized, the USPTF, the Prevention Task Force, who kind of sets a lot of these national guidelines, they looked at this twice in the last 10 years and basically concluded that it's inconclusive if it's helpful to get screening eye exams, which anyone who, you know, we've been talking for a while about this, this is purely a disease that's caught by screening. So you're basically saying, we don't think you should screen for glaucoma at all, or that's no, there's not enough evidence to recommend that. I find that that's probably more of a financial, you know, system-wide financial decision rather than really what's true. Really, most of the time, you're not going to catch glaucoma without screening until it's way too late. So I agree with the American Academy of Ophthalmology's approach of, yes, when you're 40 years old, doesn't matter what your family history is, go get a dilated eye exam. And then your eye doctor, and that can be with an optometrist or an ophthalmologist, okay? They can look at you and assess your risk factors for glaucoma and these other diseases that we're talking about, and then recommend a follow-up from there. And so certainly recommend that anyone over the age of 40. If you had one when you were 40 and now you're 65, probably time to go back in and get checked out. You know, really, if you don't have any other diseases, it's still a good idea at that point, the older you get, to get more frequent checks. But yeah, it's kind of a controversial topic because there isn't necessarily a national consensus. And so really even primary care doctors often are maybe not totally sure what direction to take because of this challenge in guidance. But that's my recommendation. Now, certainly, I think Medicare pays for, if you're African-American, Medicare will pay for, I think, an ophthalmology exam after the age of 50, just because of the high risk of glaucoma. And then I believe Hispanic, I think it's at 65, they'll pay for just a screening, basically a glaucoma screening exam after the age of 65. So there's different things like that that you can take advantage of and go see an ophthalmologist covered under your medical insurance. So you don't need vision insurance to have that happen. But, you know, even if you have to pay cash, I think to go and get seen, to get screened, it's well worth it, because most people, what do they say? I'd almost rather die than lose my vision. And that's how critical this is. So,
well, is there anything else you'd like to add?
I guess what I would say is, yeah, just go and see your eye doctor, go get screened, go get checked. And if there's any concern for glaucoma, please give our office at Texas Tech Ophthalmology, give us a call, and be happy to get you scheduled with someone, either myself or a colleague that deals with this problem, and we can get you taken care of. We're pretty proud of, you know, I always think it's good when the university offers the best technology and all the newest stuff, and we really do that here. We can offer our patients all the newest surgical techniques, procedures, and give them the best care possible. So happy to see them if that's the case.
Well, thank you again for coming on our podcast and for giving us all this great information.
Sure thing. Thanks so much for having me, Melissa. I appreciate the talk.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Texas Tech Health Check. Make sure to subscribe or follow wherever you listen to podcasts. This information is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice. Always seek immediate medical advice from your physician or your healthcare provider for questions regarding your health or medical condition. Texas Tech Health Check is brought to you by Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center and produced by Tierra Castillo, Susanna Cisneros, Mark Hendricks, Kay Williams, and me, Melissa Whitfield.